Ecclesiastes. Book of Ecclesiastes. It's after Psalms and Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. War does a funny thing to people. I remember when I first started in ministry, most of the vets that had served in Vietnam. There clearly was a lot of Vietnam veterans who became Christians. It was kind of like they saw what hell was like, and many, many of them became Christians. And for others, they became really hard towards God because of war. So there was always those two responses. But I just pray this war has a way of opening people's hearts. So Ecclesiastes chapter 4. So we're going to talk about merging with the North Hills Alliance Church this morning, because I need to bring you up to speed. I know you've been hearing about it, and you've probably been talking about it over dinner and roasting Pastor Toomey maybe and grilling Pastor Jeff or something. But it's kind of moving along. So on last Tuesday, the DEXCOM met. That's the District Executive Committee. What the board is to our church, the DEXCOM is to the 150 Alliance churches. It's like the board of the district. And they had to approve this merging concept and all the legal work. And I mean, this is definitely a unique situation. There has been few mergers, if any, almost. And so, but Tuesday they said, you know what, we're going to give you approval to go ahead. We are hoping this works out. So many of our churches are struggling, and I'm not sure we've really found anything that has helped so many of our churches that are slowly dying. And that's about 80 to 90% of our churches, not just in the Alliance, but in the country. So they approved it, and because they're like, we want to see that this works and it's successful. So they're like, we want to see this succeed, and we're going to be behind you. So then Wednesday, this last Wednesday, the superintendent, Dr. Norris, the assistant superintendent, you may have heard of him, Reverend Paul Cope, and myself met with the North Hills board, and they have about 12 or 13 people on their board. And we just went over the merger again, and I mean, they are unbelievably excited. And they're like, oh, this is thrilling. And in fact, at one point, they asked me, how many of those missionaries do you have of the 30 missionaries that I'm looking for to go to that site? And I said, oh, I've only got 17. And I said, is this a deal breaker? And they were like, we are merging no matter how many you send our way, whether it's 10, 30, 20, whatever it is, we want to join and be one church with you. So it was just a very good conversation. I did tell them, I said, look, I could have 30 missionaries by the 65 and older in our church. And it was interesting. I mean, almost all of them are older. And they were like, oh, yeah, we would not want that. Because most of our church is that age. And lots of people come in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and don't come back. So that definitely would not help us. That was wise that you cut that off at 10. So we're still praying for another 13 people who might be willing to go there for a year to be a missionary to that site. Basically, our two churches, they're ready to vote. And we thought the same Sunday, both churches would vote simultaneous for the merger to occur. And then the official merger date would be the beginning of September. So any questions, comments? And I probably should bring up that we are looking, and this is where I'm going to get in trouble. We are probably looking at a name change. We do need one name for both sites. We would still be the 228 Mars site. They want to be known as the Franklin Park site, but we still need to have one church name that both sites would be advertised under. So they have ideas, and elders have had ideas here, and staff have had ideas, and we've gone through lists. We have hundreds of ideas, but nothing has struck us yet. I've talked to Paul Cope many times about this, and Reverend Paul Cope is, it's about time. The name needed to change long ago from the local town of Mars to a regional church, where probably 3/4 of our people do not come from Mars. Officially, on our legal documents, we're probably still going to be the Mars Christian Missionary Alliance, but this would be our advertising name. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I'm going to give you what I think are the advantages of merging with the... They want to be known as the Franklin Park site. They said they believe long ago when they got called North Hills that that was a mistake, because North Hills is a huge area, and that church is in Franklin Park. They're hoping, can we be the Franklin Park site of whatever is the name of our church? So I was like, yeah, I don't have a problem. Ecclesiastes 4, starting in verse 9. I actually preached a sermon on this about 3.5 years ago about the advantages of married life. But we're going to read this with something different in mind. Verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So usually when people preach on this, they talk about married life, the advantages of, there's advantages of being married, and there's advantages of being single. But really, there's nowhere in this passage that it specifically says this is talking about a husband and wife. He could be talking about two good friends. Or maybe, in this case, maybe it's talking about two churches that join together. About a week and a half ago, when I was talking to the North Hills Church, the Lord actually gave me this passage in my mind. And I even told them while I was there, I said, you know what? I know the passage I'm going to preach on when you come and visit us here in Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one. One is a very lonely number. Loneliness is growing in the United States. 4 out of 10 people in the United States say they are extremely lonely, and it's only growing. As the divorce rate keeps going up, more and more older people are by themselves. People are putting off marriage, and so more people are by themselves. The Facebook and all the social media is only causing us to, in fact, be more lonely, even though I know you have 853 friends on Facebook. But we're actually more segregated and lonely than we've ever been as a nation. And they're saying it's just growing, the group of people that 40% extremely lonely in the United States. If you look back at verse 7, Solomon says, again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. So here's a guy all by himself working and kind of like, what for? What's the reason? By the way, the best investment you can make is in friendships. That's why I like church. I think the United States is getting more lonely because people don't go to church as much anymore either. But invest in friendships. I love reading books, and I love especially reading books written by older people, older than myself, older people who write from their wisdom about life and things they would do differently or things they were happy that they did. And almost all of them say, don't work just to get more money or a bigger house. It's the friends that you have that really matter. It's the friends that's going to make you happy later on in life. You've got to be a friend to have a friend. Invest in friendships if you want to have an enjoyable retirement someday. Two are better than one because you get a good return for your work. I definitely think my wife and I together, we could raise those six kids. I think we're better together raising six kids than each one of us. Yeah. Of course, we wouldn't have six kids by ourselves. And I think we've accomplished a lot more in life together as a partner and enjoying life a lot better together than each of us could have done alone. And I think that together with the North Hills Alliance Church, we can reach more people for Jesus than each one of us separately. Churches are very alone. When I was in the district, I'd go around to churches, and this is probably true of most churches. Churches are very, like, alone by themselves and can feel almost abandoned. I know that the district, we were supposed to be the ones that kind of befriend each church, but there's 150 churches and there's only a couple of us, and there was like no way we could, and pastors felt alone, and especially when they're struggling, and churches felt alone, and for whatever reason, because of competition, jealousy, territory, whatever, churches don't work together. We work independently, and there's, you know. And it's kind of a very sad thing. And so churches can be lonely and don't get the advantage of merging together. Companies will merge together because together they realize they will reach more people and have a greater product working together in a merger than separate. So we get a good return for our work. Teamwork between the two sites. Together, everyone achieves more. There's what team means, huh? Together, everyone achieves more. Alone, we can do so little. Together, we can do so much. Reverend Paul Cook gave me a book. And the book is on church mergers. And it's the title of the book is Together is Better, or something like that. It's really good. And it shares that churches that have done this in the United States, that both sites wind up doing better than before. There was a Peanuts comic that I saw on the computer when I was working on this sermon this week. And it's Lucy. Lucy goes into the room and Linus, her brother, is watching TV. And Lucy says to Linus, "Hey, change the channel. I want to watch this." And Linus goes, "I was here first and I have the show on." And Lucy goes, "Do you see these fingers? Each of these fingers by themselves are small, insignificant, and weak. But when I put these fingers together into a team, they become strong and powerful." And Linus goes, "What channel would you like, Lucy?" Okay. And I think about that, like, you know, we can be weak and insignificant, but together in a team, we can do so much more for the Lord and for the advancement of his kingdom. Second benefit, we can help each other if one falls down. So in verse 10, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. The second biggest cause of death as far as accidents is falls. In the world, every year, 450,000 people die from a fall. The older you get, the more dangerous a fall becomes, and the more likely you will have a fall. And it was just sad reading the statistics of older people that are by themselves who have a fall, and no one's there. No one, they've lost their husband or wife, or they've been single, and no one's there, and they die because no one can help them. In the King James Version, it says, "Woe, woe to the person who falls," and there's no one there to help them. I'm still sick over this story here. This just came out this week. This is Geraldine Largie. Geraldine Largie was hiking 2 years ago on the Appalachian Trail with a friend. And they're going along, and every day or two, the husband of Geraldine would meet them to resupply them with food and stuff. But he was like, I'm not hiking the thousands of miles up the Allegheny Mountains from the south to Maine or whatever. But I'll drive and supply you. They had cell phones, Geraldine and her friend. And at one point, the friend gets a call that there's a family emergency and she needs to leave for a short while. And so the husband and Geraldine and the friend, they're like, okay, we need to take a break. Let's just stop here until your friend comes back. But Geraldine went, no, I'll do the next section was 20 miles to do in one day. I'll do the next section by myself. And the friend said, your sense of direction is horrible. Geraldine got very upset, you know. But the friend said, look, we've already been hiking for like a month, and you can get lost on the trail. And she, and the husband, no, don't do this. But Geraldine said, I can do it. I'll do these 20 miles on my own. The reason this was just in the paper this week is Geraldine did get lost. Now, we know now that she got off the trail by 1 mile. So when Geraldine, 2 years ago, they found her body inside of her tent. When the husband at the end of that day, she didn't show up, he called in for help. And for 7 days, they searched for Geraldine on the 20-mile, but it's all heavy woods, mountains. And they were told after 7 days that she would be dead. This is the sick part. This is the sick part that just came out when they found her body. Here, she was alive for 26 days. She kept a diary with her. In the diary, she says, oh man, I got lost. I'm just going to stay put. I know when you get lost, it's not good to keep going further and getting lost. So I'll just stay put in my tent and I'll wait for help. Her cell phone did not work. It was out of service. She may have injured herself. She crawled up to a high point and she sent all kinds of messages and texts, but nothing. And she kept a diary for 26 days and she literally starved to death. And she wrote in it, you know, eventually she's writing to her husband, her kids, when she realized I'm probably going to die. But it's sickening to think, wow, they quit after 7 days, and she went 26 days. But she was all alone, and she fell, and there was no one there. Whoa. Churches go through falls, too. Christians go through falls. That's why it's good to have one another, so that when you fall, there's a friend. Hopefully, you got to invest in friends before you fall. If you fall and then say, oh, I need some friends, it's too late. Invest in friends now so that when you fall, you have a friend who's there when you're down, when you're discouraged, when you're going through a tough time. When you invest in friendship now so that someone's there. And churches go through falls and churches hurt. And it's nice when there's two to encourage each other and to help out. Third benefit, we can keep each other warm. So Solomon says, verse 11, also if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Some have said, well, this is talking about sleeping together and keeping each other warm under the blankets. But in Israel, you didn't need that as much. And so others thought that Solomon is, that this is like a secret code for a wonderful love life. But it can also mean to keep each other encouraged. In fact, we were singing that song, Soul on Fire, and I was thinking, yeah, two of us can keep, one of the benefits in that book, Better Together, is that you keep each other on fire for the Lord. Our souls on fire. And so we have this connection. When one of us gets down, one of the things I was thinking about is they are prayer warriors. Though they only average 44 on Sunday morning, they have a huge prayer team. Pastor Paul Cope actually joins them almost every week to pray with them. And I was thinking, hey, what they're giving us may be more valuable than even what we share with them. Just their prayer support for us and their encouragement. Fourth benefit, we can defend one another. Yeah, I got your back. Verse 12, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. When they would go into battle back in those days, they didn't have missiles, guns, bombs, stuff like that. they did literally hand-to-hand combat. And every soldier would have a buddy partner, and you literally would stand back-to-back as you did hand-to-hand combat. Because as soon as your back was unprotected, a soldier from the other side, when he sees an unprotected back, he's just going to stab you, and you're done. So they understood the value of having each other's back. And so I think one of the advantages we're going to have with the North Hills is we can cover each other's back. Right now, yeah, maybe we're covering their back, but maybe 5 years from now they'll be covering our back. And of course, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. If God's in the midst of this, then I think we will be strong together. We are weak individually, but together we can be a strong force for the Lord. So this is the Leicester team in England. They say they're a football team, but obviously we know that they don't understand real football, okay?
They say the opposite
about us. Do they? So this is a soccer team. And you realize what soccer is to them is what, I guess, football or the Penguins at this point are to us. So the Leicester team is the loser of all loser teams in England. I guess there's different tiers. You understand they have tons and tons of hockey teams. And there's the first tier, which is the winning, you know, and then there's the second tier, and then there's the third tier, which is the lowest tier, and they are the lowest team on the lowest tier. They're the losers, and I'll tell you why they're the losers. All the other teams, when they throw the loser player off of their team, they say, look, you got a choice, unemployment or go to the Leicester team, okay? So the Leicester team is made up of all the players. It's so interesting reading. They're all the rejects from the tier two and tier one teams that are has-beens, aren't good, not skilled, cheap. Some of the players, like the goalie, was working in a factory 2 years ago. Some of the players are such losers, they haven't even grown up in soccer. They've just picked up soccer lately, and I mean, the odds, this team has not won a championship of any type in 134 years. It's like an all-time record. Although there may be one other team somewhere in the world that beats that. But they'd be the second, okay? 134 years, never winning. They're losers. The amount of money that the team pays all these soccer players is less money than all the tier one teams play each soccer player that's good and, you know, professional. Do you follow that? Okay, their whole budget is one soccer player on the good teams. Okay. So at the beginning of this year, the odds of this team winning was 5,000 to 1. And believe it or not, there was some crazy woman who put a $3 bet on the Leicester team to win the championship. She got paid $15,000. So a week and a half ago, the Leicester team won the championship in England. The whole country. I mean, this has been in the news. It's just, it is so miraculous that this loser, no good, has been guys are the best soccer players in the whole country. So the Lord was talking to me about our merger. And I don't have, like, I've only had like one vision I can remember from the Lord, and a couple of times the Lord spoken to me verbally. Often the Lord just speaks to me in dreams. And I had a dream, and I was talking to the Lord, and I was like, Lord, why are we merging with North Hills? We aren't that, you know, I mean, I love this church, but we're nobodies. We're not wealthy, we're not superstars, we're not super charismatic people, we're not, you know. And the Lord was like, Joe, that is so perfect. Because that way I'm going to get the glory when the churches grow and when you reach people. It won't be other people going, oh, well, of course, it's the dynamic worship. Of course, it's Pastor Toomey, Pastor Jeff. It was, the Lord was like, that's perfect. In your weakness, my strength will be manifested. I'll get the glory when I move in the churches. It won't be superheroes. And this week when I saw that comic about Lucy, I was like, yes, each one of us individually is weak and, you know, not that significant in the scheme of things. But together, Mars Alliance and North Hills Alliance, the Lord can get the glory and the Lord can be powerful. One last thing I have to tell, and I got to go. We got to close. Do you see the name of their team? Do you see what it is? King Power. That happens to also be the name of the stadium, okay, which just got named not too long ago. And I looked it up, and I thought, well, maybe that's talking about the King of England. It has nothing to do with England. Some Asian company from Asia, that happens to be the name of their company. And since this was the loser team, it was a real cheap team to be sponsored by this Asian company. And so that it's... And I was wondering, I wonder if that Asian company is Christian. But anyway, King Power. I thought, that's pretty profound, isn't it? King Power. That's the team we need to be on. The team of King Power. The power of Jesus to bring us together. Father, Lord, it's kind of an awesome thing that's occurring. Something that rarely occurs in the Alliance. And we ask, Lord, that your blessing, if you don't bless, we will labor in vain in trying to build the house of God. And so, Lord, we are weak in ourselves, and that church is weak, but we pray together that we would impact this region in a greater way than each one of us individually could have done. We pray, Lord, that we would lift each other up when one goes through a difficult time, when one has a spiritual fall. We pray, Lord, that the two sites would keep each other warm, on fire, that our souls would be on fire, and that we'd be excited and get to rejoice with our daughter site. But, Lord, we know that we can be weak unless we are a church of three strands. And so we need King Power. We need you, Jesus, to weave yourself through this whole thing, that you would get the glory. It is going to be by your might, your power, by your spirit, and not our own. May you get the glory in all of this. In your name we pray. Amen.